This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
What do you have any nominees for the Song of the Summer, Dennis Cox? I feel like, I don't know when About Damn Time by Lizzo came out, but I feel like that sounds like a song of the summer. Like
it does, for TikTok, it is.
Yeah. A song of the summer can like come out in March or April, you know.
Of course.
And then be the song of the summer. So I feel like Goodson would like About Damn Time, and I feel like that's a good summery song. It's upbeat, it's happy. But Goodson says somebody's going to have to come for the crown and take it from Despacito. We'll ask him if anybody's challenging and his thoughts on the Big Rock Blue Marlin Tournament. Wrapping up down there in Morehead City. Goodson, what's going on, dude?
Not much, guys. Out on the golf course, and one of the guys I'm playing with literally just hit it to like 6 inches. Like, I'm walking down a par three to do this phone call, and you see the ball come in, and I'm like, that might go in. That actually might go in, and it's basically 6 inches from the pin.
We almost got a live hole-in-one. Is it Chad or
I think it was Pat. I think it was Pat.
All right. Well, congratulations to Pat.
You're following my round. You don't need to tell everybody what I'm doing, okay? God.
I was wondering if you were going to pick up the phone. I see that your round is not going well, so maybe you could just give yourself a par here and then keep talking to me. All right, Mercenaria is our winner of the Big Rock. They're from Virginia. Do we need to build a fence around the state and not let the Big Rock title get out of North Carolina like that?
It's probably not a bad idea, but even here's a question I had. So they're from Virginia, but they're from the eastern shore of Virginia, which I think is just Maryland or Delaware at that point. So can Virginia even claim Mercenaria? That's the bigger question I've had. It's that area, I guess, was it Chesapeake area?
Yeah.
Between like the Maryland eastern shore. So it's not even like real Virginia. Like the Outer Banks is more Virginia than where Mercenaria was from.
So it's like, it's basically sitting there next to Delmarva. It's like on the same peninsula.
Sort of.
But it's like the Virginia
sort of,
side.
Like south of there. Yes.
Yeah. Fake Virginians. I don't like it. Also, are we going to, I know that NASCAR has got a problem in that, like, nobody knows. Used to be back in the day, you ran the races, you awarded winners of the races, and you got points, and at the end, the person with the most points won. Now there's like all these convoluted how you can get points, points for leading laps, all this other stuff. So I don't want to mess up fishing by adding a convoluted point system, but we can't have a tournament-winning fish caught on Monday and then really no action towards the weekend when our primetime TV sponsors are picking up coverage. How can we fix this problem and make sure that the winning fish isn't plucked on a Monday of fishing?
You bring up a good question. I mean, what does the Bassmaster Classic do? Something like combined total fish, right? Like when you catch three or four fish, you combine the amount of pounds to a certain amount. Maybe you do that because a lot of these fishes are catching fish and then releasing them too, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There's lots of times they're to catch and release. So maybe it's more of something like that. But no, it was Big Rock was a little not as fun this week, I would say. Whenever the winning fish, and actually like the whole leaderboard was all caught on Monday. And whenever that happens, it's just kind of like, what else is there to do? The only other thing to really care about then is the Michael Jordan boat. What did Michael Jordan do? Well, he caught a dolphin this week, and that was about it. So it definitely lost its luster, having the winning fish being caught. But Mercenaria don't care. I think they walked away with about $4 million.
Yeah, they do not care how boring it was. Yeah, $3.5 million. And then I know that for years you have backed the boat Blue Water. Did they once again catch nothing? They have one of the longest streaks in Big Rock history of not catching anything. How did Blue Water turn out?
They were 0-for again. I actually think they did score some points at some point. Like they were on the point leaderboard as you were kind of talking about and such. And I believe they actually caught and released a couple things the first day. But they didn't do much this year again. Like and what's funny is they actually don't care about that. Like there was a guy, we were at one of the weigh-ins one day, and I think somebody came in with like a 420-pound fish, and whenever they weighed it, like you could see the captain was like kind of mad. He's like, we just spent all that time. We could have been out here trying to catch another one. We got back up here and we have nothing to show for it. So a lot of those fishermen, it's I do like the effect of the Big Rock being go big or go home. Like, you only care about catching the biggest thing. Everything else is kind of irrelevant.
Interesting. So like, if you think you got a marlin big enough to be weighed, you're basically pulling out of the rest of the day of fishing by coming in to weigh the marlin. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. You're basically losing time. And a lot of times, a lot of these fishermen can kind of tell once they get it on the boat, they're like, don't think that's going to be big enough. And whenever they get there and they finally weigh the actual fish, it's like you feel like it's been a big waste and let down.
I read that the winning boat, that not when they got it on the boat, but when they were first hooking it up, they were like worried that it was not going to be big enough to be a winner, but it was indeed.
You have to remember, though, being the first day, there's that bonus for catching the first 500 pounder. So there's a lot more incentive on that first day
to get something,
to bring in anything, even if you don't think it's, you know, of weight and such. Maybe they do something like that. Maybe they make Saturday like a more important day, like bring anything in.
The first thing brought in. First thing brought in on Saturday just to get some excitement. Well, it's cool. You got to go down to the scales. Did you get to the captain's party this year?
No, we didn't go down. The captain's party, I believe, is on Friday night or Saturday night. We did not go down to the beach until Sunday.
All right, speaking of which, I know a lot of people, school's out now for pretty much all children in North Carolina. I know there's some year-round schools. But people are, it is beach trip season time. One of the things about being a North Carolinian, and some people don't understand it, they're like, I hate the sand, I don't like it. It doesn't mean you have to do everything that I would do at the beach, but at some point, if you're a North Carolinian, and you don't either own a beach house or have one in your family, you rent a beach house and you go down there for a week as a family and you try and get the same beach house every year. So then it becomes, you know, you need to learn the quirks of it, right? And that's become a thing. I grew up doing this. Now I do it with my wife's family now. You took your family down to the beach. You are making the case not to leave Saturday night, like a night early, leave Friday, leave before the weekend, give up your weekend beach. Make the case for that being the way to do it.
Well, we left Friday morning was one thing. This is going to come across as like, well, it must be nice to have that. Well,
yes.
we stayed for free. We stayed for free where we were. We have a family member that has a house that graciously lets us use it. So we can kind of go anytime. So I'm going to preface my reasoning. That's probably goes
sure.
into a lot of my reason.
Sure.
But leaving on Friday allows me to come home and cut grass.
Okay.
Do very like dad, like household things, and basically get the house in order. So then you're basically back into a weekend and you can enjoy it at home. And on top of that, the beach gets very, very, very even more so crowded.
Yes. Okay. Now here's
on Friday, like
go
on
ahead.
Friday. So there's just, there's more people down there. I'm not one of those that could just stay at the beach necessarily forever, like type deal. Like, I don't mind coming back home a day or two, and I'd rather come back Friday. My wife doesn't love it. She would be the one that's like, if you have the beach rental, as you were talking about, maybe it's Saturday through Sunday or Saturday through Saturday. She's like, we're going to check out. And also,
and then go to the beach.
We're going to have our bathing suits on when we check
yes.
out. We're just going to go to the beach all day.
Yes. See, I'm more that style. However, I will say, and especially you admitted, like, part of it was cost is not a factor. It's not like you're giving up one third of your beach vacation that you've rented this house. But let's say I will agree with you in that just mentally the timing. I'm not going to leave the beach early, but if I could design a perfect beach rental, it might be Friday to Friday. Because A, uh-huh. that first Friday, you could either, you know, work in the morning because you don't have to, you probably aren't checking in until 3, or you just take off work and it was a Friday. You get to feel your weekend because you were like looking forward to the weekend because you were at week the whole 4. And then like Monday hits and you've got a whole beach week in front of you while other people are going back to their lives or whatever. And then I do like the thought of ending your beach vacation on a Friday and then having a weekend to do normal weekend stuff back at home. It feels like you're buying extra weekend time. So that part of the equation, I do feel like you are onto something psychologically of like, I was just at the beach and now I get a home weekend. It feels like a lot of relaxing time. So I think you're onto something
Agreed.
There. Happy Father's Day to you. I hope you had a good one. As a father of two dads, as the father of two dogs, Father's Day is always huge for me. So, you know, I celebrated big time. Enjoy the rest of the round. Tell those boys I said hello, and we'll talk to you soon, my man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Josh Goodson on the Big Rock. I always forget guest host moment here. Do we take a break here? Or do we?
We do. I'm just curious about this father of two dads.
Though. Yeah, not. I meant father of two dogs. No, if you, this has been established, dog parents. It's awesome. It's great that you have a dog. I have a dog. We just added another dog to our family. We have a puppy now, too. It's great. They bring joy to my life. They bring joy to my wife. My wife and I love having the dogs. They're great. However, it does not make you eligible to be celebrated on Mother's or Father's Day. Apologies. Apologies. And we...
Don't apologize.
Yes.
No,
I'm sorry.
What you say?
I'm sorry. And I also am not one of those people... There's plenty more to life than just being a parent. I don't like people who get single shamed or being childless shamed. I'm not doing that. But you don't get to say Father's Day because you have pets. Sorry.
As a father of two dads.
Yes, yes, yes. A father of two dads, yes. A father of two dogs that are as big as humans, and they are probably bigger than some people's dads because I have great big dogs. Yes. Friday, Bob McKillop retired. Mm-hmm. It was the day after Steph Curry was named Finals MVP. I think some people underestimate how big a deal it was for Steph Curry to go to Davidson. I know Davidson alumni and Davidson fans like my good friend John Burns are out there being like, that's right, Bob McKillop taught him how to play basketball. I don't necessarily mean in that sense. I'll give a lot of credit to Bob McKillop. I also give a little bit of it to fate or luck or whatever it is. I'll explain what I mean about Steph Curry's development at Davidson College next.
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. Coach, let's say I have more than $1 million balance in my 401k.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. How can that actually come back and bite me?
Well, because, and this is a thing that we it's a mirage. You see mirages. I've ridden in the desert before. You see what's water ahead, but it's not there. Well, your financial mirage is thinking that that total balance in your 401k or your IRA is yours. We have two people that want to get a hold of it, two uncles, Uncle North Carolina and Uncle Sam.
Right.
Both of them are going to do some damage to that balance. Depending on what kind of other income you have, you could lose 40% of your value. So if you're looking at $1 million IRA, maybe it's only worth $600,000 to you. So how do we get around this? Well, you don't get around it because you end up in jail if you try to do that.
But you
can do tax planning to minimize the effect of taxation into the future. The tax train is coming, Adam. We need to make sure to minimize the effect of the derailment of our financial accounts. And for the next 10 people, we'll do it at no cost or obligation. Put together your very own tax and retirement plan.
800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta.
We've got some things to clean up here. We got some things to get to. I'm going to talk a little bit about Davidson and Steph Curry's development. We have the exchange of gifts.
Yes, because
we're just
nice
people. Now, Dennis Cox's birthday coming up, and I've got a present for him, and then apparently he's got something for me as well. We may rewind the show a little bit and look back on some of the smart things that other people have told us. And, of course, I brought a Rightly Rated with me, as I always do when I fill in for Adam Gold, including elephants. Did you guys talk about this elephant in India?
No,
okay,
we did not.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
It's amazing.
It's wild.
We'll get to the story in just a little bit. But first of all, I want to talk about Bob McKillop at Davidson. And it's funny because I think Bob McKillop is an incredible coach, an amazing instructor, and a great leader of people. And if he never had Steph Curry, his resume would have been legendary, right? Like what he did at Davidson, small school, smaller resources, high academic standard, all these different things that make it a little bit harder. And he has grown the program, went to the NCAA many times, even without a Steph Curry. Although, obviously, when he had the future NBA Hall of Famer on his team, he was able to do more and go further and still continues to do great things. They had a good team this past year. And Davidson's now become a place where, like, Kentucky calls on the transfer portal and is like, hey, you, senior at Davidson, we'd love for you to come play at Kentucky, right? So they are still doing well at the Atlantic 10 despite the uphill climb. But and there is also, and Steph Curry has said this, he's talked about learning the game from Bob McKillop. And I think it also, I think a lot of times we underestimate what college coaches impart on players. I don't think Michael Jordan is just doing lip service to Dean Smith when he talks about the importance of his development. As great competitor and hard worker and obviously skilled and will to win and all that stuff as Michael Jordan had, maybe it was seeing Dean Smith make everyone an equal and place emphasis on the team that allowed Jordan to have the mindset of like, you know what, if I'm going to win this team sport, I need to have a team and be able to like, yes, he was hard on his teammates or whatever, but realizing that his teammates were important. There's some players that we see today that I could name that I'll bet their teammates would love to have them yell at them just to know that they cared, right? There's some guys out there that probably don't ever talk to their teammates, yeah? So I think the same is true, obviously, with Steph Curry. The development, the things he learned playing for Bob McKillop, I think, helped him the rest of his life. However, I do think part of it is a little bit of luck and a little bit of fate, because the famous example that we talk about not giving Steph Curry a chance, when really it was everybody in college basketball, but Virginia Tech and poor Seth Greenberg is the one that everybody's like, how the hell did you miss on this guy? His dad played basketball here. His mom played volleyball here. It was volleyball or track? His mom was an athlete there, I believe. Like, there's no reason not to take a chance on this guy. But if Steph Curry goes to Virginia Tech, and Seth Greenberg will tell you, oh, you're returning all ACC guys, we didn't have a place for him. If he goes to Virginia Tech or some other ACC school, he goes to Wake Forest that was nearby in Charlotte, and in his freshman year, he would have been the second guard off the bench, maybe, or whatever, yeah, for a middle of the ACC team, and he would have learned to do role player things. And a lot of times, role players, like, I could see Steph Curry developing like a Danny Green, who was given a role at UNC. He improved. At times, he could be the best player on their team. He scored a lot, but he was never trying to be the star player on UNC. Now, that served him well. He's a role player who's had an incredible NBA career, and he's got, you know, some elite skills defensively and shooting that have helped him be. But that's who I think Steph Curry could have been, or what his career might have looked like, if he had slotted into that role of, well, I'm going to be a role player. And then by a senior year, he might have been the all-ACC and he'd been the best player on his team. But they're still looking to get 20 or 22 points out of him instead of, you know, being the score for the whole team. At Davidson, and I don't know how many people watched him before or outside of the NCAA tournament run, this dude was the team. I'm not saying there weren't other good players on there. Everything I said about Bob McKillop is true. They went to the NCAA tournament without him. But he was so clearly the most talented player. And Bob McKillop had enough lack of ego to say, I don't need to make this kid fit my system. I need to make my system fit this kid, right? Mm-hmm. So from day one, Steph Curry, I mean, not day one, literally he wasn't, you know, the focus probably as a freshman, but for most of his sophomore year and definitely all his junior year, it was totally fine for Steph Curry to decide, if I've got the ball in my hands and I've got room to shoot it, if I'm 25 feet away, shoot it.
Yeah.
We need you to get 10 to 15 three-pointers up every game, because percentages say you're going to hit 6 to 10 of those, and that's our best chance of winning. There were games, there was a team, I forget this coach's name. He's kind of a schmarmy dude, thinks he's smarter than he is. I can picture him, and I can't think of him right now. And he coached, if not Towson, some other school up in the Maryland area. And he literally triple teamed Steph Curry. It was like an all-time double team when Curry didn't have the ball. Mm-hmm. So it was like a triangle and two, three dudes just stood in the zone, two dudes tried to make sure that Curry didn't catch the ball. And when he caught it, another dude went and like they tried to triple team. And his whole thing was like, we don't even care if we lose, we're just not giving up 30 points to Steph Curry, right?
Yeah.
And I don't remember how the game played out. I don't remember what Steph had. But like situations like that, I think led to Steph Curry being the shooter, instead of being the shooter like his dad was, who percentage-wise was an all-time great shooter, but he was a deferent shooter, right? He was the second or third option. Well, let's give it to our good guard who will throw it in our big man, and if they double any of those guys, well, Dale Curry's just sitting right there, and he's going to catch it and knock it down. Steph Curry, if he had gone the normal college route, I think there's a decent chance that might have been what he was. Now, again, he has elite skills. He probably would have had a better career than Dale Curry. But I'm not sure he reaches the full Steph Curry potential that we've seen now of feeling like, even at my size in a big man's game, and even though conventionally people don't shoot three-pointers like I do, which is like pull, 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 even if we haven't set up the offense or passed, if I'm open and it's inside 30 feet, I've got to shoot because that's what this team needs. I think that again, call it fate, luck, or whatever, that had him end up at Davidson instead of, you know, a place where he obviously would have been skilled enough to play once he was a sophomore, junior, and senior. I think that contributed to Steph Curry being what became the, you know, finals MVP, two-time MVP, four-time NBA champion, more than I think people sometimes give it credit for. We will attempt to talk to Bob McKillop on this here radio show sometime in the near future. We will see if he stops by. He's always been generous with his time, but obviously very busy guy in early retirement, probably getting a lot of requests.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
It is now time for the Adam Gold Show gift exchange. This came out, so randomly, oh, we got music for the gift exchange. I love it.
Of course.
All right, so a couple weeks ago, are you a Next Door guy?
Next Door?
It's like LinkedIn, but for your neighbors instead of business.
I live in an apartment.
It's a social media thing. Oh, but, you, but there's a Next Door for your,
okay,
for your neighbor, right?
All right.
So you don't have to have a house. It's basically like neighborhood, right? And there's some good benefits for it. Somebody will say, hey, I've got free firewood in my backyard. Anybody come take what you want. But then, like any other social media space, you know, people take to complaining about politics or things. any snake you see on Next Door is identified as a copperhead. That's it's like one of those places. But somebody not too long ago said, hey, my husband recently passed. We don't know what to do with all these books and records. People are free to come look at his huge book and record collection and take some. So I got some records and some books, but I came across a book that I looked at and I said, you know what? I'm grabbing this one for my good friend Dennis Cox.
Okay.
And then I found out that Wednesday is your birthday and that I'd be coming in here.
Yeah.
I was hoping I'd be doing the show on your birthday, but apparently you're taking your birthday off.
I am taking off. So you will be doing the show on my birthday.
I will be doing the show on your birthday, but you will not be doing the show on your birthday.
I'll join you for a placer bet.
Shout out to Capital Broadcasting for the great time off plan they give their employees. They always do good work. But I have for you a book entitled The Physics of Superheroes.
Yes!
That's right. It's a nerdy science book.
Yes!
That explores the actual physics behind some of the things. And it's got some, like, old comic book strips in there. Like, I was thumbing through it. The first chapter breaks down how Superman originally didn't fly. Like, he just could jump really high. The whole thing was the Krypton with less gravity.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you know, he could jump on Krypton, what was normal, but on Earth, because it had, you know, less gravity, he could jump over tall buildings in a single bound. So
yes,
it's like questions like, how much exit velocity would Superman need to actually jump over a tall building?
Give it to me.
Chapter's called The Day Gwen Stacy Died, Impulse and Momentum. Can he swing from a thread? Centripetal acceleration? Flash facts? Friction, drag, and sound? So yes. Let's see. Can Ant-Man punch his way out of a paper bag? Torque and rotation. Is Ant-Man deaf, dumb, and blind? Simple harmonic motion. These are all the things. Superman schools Spider-Man. Electrical currents. Electro's clinging ways. So, yes. How Magneto becomes Electro when he runs. Magnetism and Faraday's law. So, this is like a book that a high school kid should, like, do a book report on. Because it is. But you will enjoy physics and superheroes. And I think you'll enjoy it.
All right, well, I have a gift for you, sir.
Okay.
When I was in Charlotte a couple weekends ago for the PLL, I know you're a huge Will Manny and Archers fan.
Wow.
So not only did I get you, I had a guess on the size, an Archers t-shirt, sir.
Wow.
But here's the apparel company of the PLL, Champion. So this is a Champion apparel t-shirt. I know you're all for it, sir. An Archers t-shirt.
What size did you guess there?
XL.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, because you're a taller guy.
I am. I will say my wife and I have been eating healthy in June, so I am down a few pounds, I'm proud to say.
Okay, all right. You're still tall, so this will work for you.
All right, we will physically exchange these gifts in person in about 5 minutes when the show ends. But happy birthday.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And always enjoy doing radio with you, and I hope you enjoy James Kakalios is the physics of superhero.
I will
enjoy.
Get on that
away. I don't buy many t-shirts because t-shirts are always cooler like when they're given to you, right? I feel like t-shirts that find you are cooler than t-shirts that you find. I'm not a order the t-shirt guy. Even if I see, I respect some cool t-shirts. I like t-shirts that are given to me. So I will definitely rock an Archer's t-shirt.
Exactly, especially a champion one.
Yes, yes. Is that the official merchandise of the whole PLL?
Yeah, PLL.
Champion, well done.
I got champion Archer's.
Only thing better would be Russell Athletics, the old Georgia Tech gear.
Great.
All right, with the little time remaining, we have just enough time to decide if things are overrated, underrated, or properly rightly rated. This is Rightly Rated.
I think we've been overrated. I think they've been underrated.
First up and rightly rated, championship hats. Are championship hats overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? I threw a tweet in there. I don't know if we have the audio for this or not. It's not a big deal. The Golden State Warriors had their parade today. Klay Thompson was taking a boat to the parade, and he forgot sometimes when you wear a hat on a boat, the wind can catch it, and you lose your championship hat. Do we have the Klay Thompson audio?
Is it clean?
Yeah, it's very clean.
Okay.
If it's not, it's my fault.
Oh, no! I lost my hat.
That's about it. Oh, no, I lost my hat. I wasn't 100% sure it was clean, but I saw SportsCenter tweet it out, so I figured we were good. championship hats, are they overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
I think for teams that win them, underrated. For people who buy them, overrated.
They're always ugly. So the only cool factor is, and I hope that wasn't the hat that he got handed on the court, and he's had it on him ever since, and now that one's gone.
I'm sure there's 30 of them.
You can always whip around and grab it. It's on a boat. You got a few minutes for it that sinks. But yes, championship hats, buying them, you nailed it. You're exactly right. Owning them is overrated unless you're one of the 12 people on the team, and it's the actual hat that they handed to you right when you won it. That hat is cool. Otherwise, overrated. Next up, Australia. Is Australia overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? This comes up because Australia sealed a World Cup bid by beating Peru 2-0 in penalty kicks, I think. In 2-0? I don't know. I may have the score wrong, but I know Australia's in. Feels like we have to have Australia in, because if they're not in, that's a whole continent taken out,
exactly.
Right? Australia, overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
Because their country is a whole continent, underrated.
Yeah, I think that's kind of cool. Although, everyone loves Australia. It's Australia, it's so great. You feel like they all got perfect weather and everything's great. And because of that, I think they're a little bit overrated. I think they're a little bit smug about it. Me either. But I just feel like it's a little bit overrated. I think they're fantastic, but also slightly overrated. And finally, elephants. Are elephants overrated, underrated, or rightly rated? This comes up because I don't know if you heard this story, but it's amazing. Yeah. An elephant in India killed a woman who was just trying to get some water by the river. And then the elephant showed up at her funeral and stomped her again. Dragged her off the funeral pile.
Yeah.
That is a spiteful elephant. Elephant's supposed to have great memories, so something that this lady
did happened.
Kicked this elephant off. Elephants, overrated, underrated, or rightly rated?
Underrated.
They're underrated. They're incredibly smart, too. Have you ever seen that video that's been going viral recently of the elephant that, takes somebody's hat from him?
Mm-hmm.
The elephant's playing a trick. It knows it's playing a trick. It's hiding it because she looks back, and he's like, no, not me. That's a smart animal right there. Elephants are freaking smart. That is.
They're underrated. Something had to have happened.
We have 1 minute left, and I want to just give a quick shout-out. I hope that everybody celebrated their father on Father's Day. I never did a great job of celebrating my father on Father's Day. My father never really needed a whole lot of appreciation. It is becoming apparent that it's likely my father might not see another Father's Day, and we'll see how many days he has left, but I want to give him a big thanks. My dad gave me the gift of sports without the burden of which team I had to cheer for or what sport I was supposed to be good at. He recognized the importance of community and sports and the drama, how much fun they can be, but he never told me I had to be a basketball player, I had to be a golfer, never tried to make me what he was, never tried to make me cheer for the team that he was. He just appreciated sports, always liked to support the local team when they were doing well. I think he taught me that. And so I just want to give a shout out to my dad. Like, hopefully folks do a better job of celebrating their fathers than I do. So, Dad, I love you. Thank you for the gift of sports. Hopefully you get to hear me on the radio a little bit and be happy. Happy Father's Day.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.